This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. When you think of the history of Baltimore's Fells Point neighborhood, maybe you think first of privateers and pirates, but it wasn't only privateers who were making a living from the waters around Fells Point. The first black-owned shipyard and railway company was founded there nearly 149 years ago as a co-op. Donna Holly, adjunct professor of history at Sojourner Douglas College in Baltimore, will explore the contributions African Americans have made to Fells Point's history Friday at noon at City Hall. And today, she joins us to talk about it. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Isaac Myers, a free black man born in Baltimore in 1835, was one of the founders of the Chesapeake Marine Railway and Dry Dock Company. It was the first such company owned by African Americans. It was cooperatively owned. Tell me about it.
It grew out of the fact that there was increasing competition from Irish immigrants for work on the docks, and many people who had been habitually hiring African Americans decided to hire the Irish people because they could pay them a lesser wage. So Isaac Myers, along with John Locks and about 12 other members of Bethel AME Church and Sharp Street United Methodist Church, decided to form their own company so that they could control hiring practices for their people. To their credit, they didn't just hire African Americans. They hired anybody who was willing to work. And at one point, they had negotiated a salary of $3 a day, which was a lot of money at that time.
Was it difficult for a group of African Americans to accumulate the capital to start a co-op business?
I don't think it was easy, but I think because of the networks and the cooperation that they had been used to experiencing as a community in the Fells Point area, it was a little bit easier than it may have been, say, like in a community like New Orleans, where people were stratified by caste and race and slave or free status. But you had a history of black people working collectively, in Fells Point. And so they were able to sell stock to members of their churches. And in fact, the first person to purchase stock was Frederick Douglass, who also grew up in Fells Point.
He was the first person to purchase stock in this company.
Yes, he was. He had been a childhood friend of John Locke's. And when they began to raise funds, Locke's contacted Douglass and he purchased stock.
Was Frederick Douglass active in investing in other African-American businesses?
You know, I really don't know. I just know about his political activities, his literary efforts, that kind of thing.
Was it difficult for the Chesapeake Marine Railway and Dry Dock Company to get business, to get contracts?
Apparently not. Both Locks and Myers had worked and had risen to levels of leadership in other marine and dry dock companies in the area. So they had the skill, they had the expertise, they had reputation that enabled them to get contracts. In fact, I think they did very, very well. They retired their debt in less than 10 years.
Now, was this part of a larger black labor union movement?
I don't believe so. This was peculiar to the time and place.
You mentioned the role of some churches in that company's history. Fells Point was the birthplace of several important African-American churches in Baltimore that are now on Baltimore's west side. How did they get their start in Fells Point?
They grew out of Lovely Lane Methodist Church, which was originally in Fells Point and is now on 22nd Street in St. Paul. There were several African-American members of that church, as well as other churches. But the people in Fells Point who attended Lovely Lane decided at some point that they would leave and they would join a church called Strawberry Alley Methodist Church. Among the members there was Frederick Douglass.
Strawberry Alley is in Fells Point?
Yes, the street name has changed. I can't remember if it's Durham Street now, but there were a lot of alley streets in Fells Point. At any rate, people left Strawberry Alley and started Sharp Street United Methodist Church. I'm sorry, not United, just Methodist Church in Fells Point.
Sharp Street Methodist Church.
Exactly. Around the time that people in Philadelphia were breaking away from the Methodist Church and starting the African Methodist Episcopal denomination, that feeling spread to Baltimore, because at that time, people, even though they were members, they would have to sit in the back of the church, or they had to take communion after the white people took communion. So people left Sharp Street Church and started Bethel African American, African Methodist Church. So all of them came out of Lovely Lane and the membership that they had.
And some of those churches moved to West Baltimore because?
I think probably because land was available. Sharp Street moved once or twice within the Fells Point and then the East Baltimore area. And then subsequently they were able to acquire a building that had been an Episcopal church in West Baltimore, and that's where they are today.
That's Donna Holly, adjunct professor of history at Sojourner Douglas College in Baltimore, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about some of the ways Fells Point's history was shaped by African Americans. In the decade or so preceding the Civil War, Baltimore had the largest number of free blacks in the country. The 1850 census counted more than eight times as many free blacks as slaves. By 1860, the ratio was 11 to 1. With greater number, greater influence in the community, how did these black institutions, the churches, the businesses, work to end slavery?
They were very, very active in the formal abolitionist movement. In fact, Lovely Lane hosted several abolitionist conferences, one attended by Elisha Tyson, for whom Tyson Street is named, and the other attended by Richard Allen, who founded the African Methodist Episcopal denomination. So they had formal anti-slavery organizations. In addition, because the population was so varied in terms of race, in terms of language, in terms of country of origin, if you were a freedom seeker running away, it was easy to hide in Fells Point. So you had these informal networks, including Underground Railroad activities. A recent historical study has indicated that Harriet Tubman spent time in Fells Point when she was raising money to finance her expeditions to the Eastern Shore, and in fact had helped her sister and her sister's child escape to be with her husband, the sister's husband, in Fells Point.
What inspired you to look into Fells Point's history?
Actually, I started with genealogy. My aunt married into the family of John Locks. And as a child, I was always fascinated because my father was a steel worker and my Uncle Joe was a businessman. And I wondered, why was it that he was able to work for himself and not have to, like most of the men I knew, work for somebody else? So I began to do a genealogical study on my Uncle Joe's family, and that's when I discovered John Locks. And as I looked more into him, I realized he was part of a community, a network, that was working actively to uplift black people in terms of education, employment, spirituality, in every political activities. All this was going on, but it all came out of my interest in my Uncle Joe.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Donna Holly, adjunct professor of history at Sojourner Douglas College in Baltimore. She'll be speaking at Baltimore City Hall Friday from noon to 1. We have links to those details at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production
of your public radio,
WYPR,
in Baltimore.
The show is produced by Matt Purdy
and Jonna McCone.
We have production help from
Estelle Klein
and Catherine Sway.
Nathan Sterner directs and engineers.
I'm Tom Hall.
And I'm Sheila Cast. On this day in Maryland history, 1971, Sterling Keyes became the first African-American superintendent to lead Baltimore City Public Schools. It was an interim position. He was in the job for 6 months. Thanks for listening. We're back on Friday. Please tune in.